Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. Appreciate that very much. All right, as we continue in our study of the basic, I haven't really decided on a good name for this series, basics, but that's sort of basic. And the foundation, those are often overused things, basic and foundation, but the gospel basic series. And we have moved to the study of spiritual love, which affects every one of our lives every day, in your marriage, in your home, in your family, at work, church, wherever you go. And so let's prepare ourselves for our study. You have been in this series now long enough to know that this is an important prayer. It's a time to test yourself to see if you're trusting in the Spirit, who is the true teacher. Let us pray. Now, Heavenly Father, how thankful we are for the opportunity that we have to assemble ourselves, to open up the Scriptures, and to see what saith the Lord. Those who have an ear, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So, Father, we pray now that your Spirit will open our eyes to the things you'd have us to see in loving as Christ loved. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now, last week we began this section of our study with the new commandment. The new commandment is found in the Gospel of John 34 and 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, by loving as Christ loved, all will know, not all men, and we recall it's not in the text, it's in italics in your New American Standard, all, angelic and human, because you're in a spiritual warfare, invisible but real, will know that you are my disciples, if you have this love for one another. Now, there is nothing that will prove whether someone is a Christian or not. You should know that as we continue in our studies. And you will as you grow and you go to a church where the Bible is taught. Nothing really to guarantee that someone is a believer in Jesus Christ. There isn't some things we can look for and fruit as far as whether or not a person is walking by faith in the Holy Spirit. This is the great issue. People are always saying, well, that person is not saved because they're doing this or they're not doing that. No, that doesn't mean they're not saved. It may mean that they're not in the filling of the Holy Spirit. So this is that you will know that people will know that you're my disciples if you have this love for one another. So this is the new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. The great issue is, well, the great question is how? How do we love one another just as Jesus Christ loved me? This love is supernatural love. This is not a love that is of the flesh, though a lot of people try to generate it in their flesh. Oh, I love Jesus, I love God, all of this. That's not the love that he's looking for. The love of the new commandment is a supernatural love. This love is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And last week we looked at Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love. There are eight other fruit of the Spirit mentioned, but right now we're concentrating on love. Then we looked at Romans 5:5, where, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through or by means of the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Okay, that brought us to a kind of a flow of this study. First of all, point one, and I wanted to start with point one just to let you know of the intensity of the new commandment. Nothing will make greater demands on your life than to love as Jesus Christ loved. This will make greater demands in your life than the law ever thought about making, is to love as Jesus Christ loved. Then point two, how did Jesus Christ love? Jesus Christ loved by the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember, we saw he could do it from his deity. He could do it from his perfect humanity. If that were the case, then we could not obey the new commandment. It would be a superfluous command. But he loved by the filling of the Spirit, and therefore we can fulfill the new commandment because we have the Spirit who was given to us. We looked at Isaiah 42:1, Matthew 3:16, Luke 4:1, 1 John 2:6. I want to look at one other passage this morning in that same motif of that we did not look at last week. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14. If you have a Bible, you want to open it up to 1 Timothy 1:14. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. Faith and love found in Christ Jesus. Jesus lived by faith, and the love was poured into him just as it is poured into us by the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So this becomes a very important passage. Christ lived and loved by faith in the Holy Spirit. Therefore, you and I, and let's be happy about that, not critical, because that means that we can now do this. We can now fulfill this new commandment. If you love by his deity, we could not. If you love by his perfect humanity, we could not, because none of us are perfect. But since he loved by the fruit of the power of the Holy Spirit, we have the Holy Spirit, we know how to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, we can fulfill the new commandment. Galatians 5, 6. Galatians 5, 6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. If you want to look at circumcision and uncircumcision, these are performance systems. Any kind of performance system means anything but faith working through love. Here I like the NIV. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. That brings us to Roman numeral 3 in our study. Another way of looking at how Jesus Christ loves, sacrificial to self for the benefit of others, namely his enemies. So this is how he loved. He loved by the fruit of the Spirit, but Roman numeral 3 deals with another aspect of this love. His love was sacrificial to self for the benefit of others. Most often when we think of love, we think of how love is going to benefit us. I love you, therefore you do this for me. I love and therefore I expect this to happen. And when things do not happen in marriage, do not happen in our love relationship with other humans, we become very disappointed. And, well, you know, it's not worth falling in love. Well, we're going to learn from Christ's love. Christ's love was sacrificial to self for the benefit of others. Now that brings us to Roman numeral 4. Get into a really important part of our study now. Spiritual love cannot be defined. It cannot be defined. And if you cannot define it, how are you going to produce it? If it can't be defined, how am I going to produce it? If we can't understand it, if we can't define it, let's take a look at a prayer of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at verse 14. Turning your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, where we'll look at a prayer by Paul on this very subject of dealing with that spiritual love cannot be defined. Okay. For this reason, I, Paul, bow my knees before the Father. Now, whether or not he actually got down on his knees or not, I do not know. This is a reverential aspect of prayer. Okay, verse 15, and my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Now, verse 16 begins the intensity of our study. In order that, now here's his prayer. I pray, get down on my knees and pray to God, in order that he, God, would grant you, the believer, graciously give you, is the idea, according to the riches of his glory. You want to remember this in your prayers. The basis of God answering prayer is his glory. So if your prayer doesn't call on the glory of God, you might want to check it out. Okay, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power. To be strengthened with power. This is part of his prayer. Through his Spirit in the inner man. People, we're back to the Holy Spirit again. You're going to learn there's nothing you and I can do in the church age as born-again believers out of the filling of the Spirit. Giving, singing, praying, witnessing. and loving as Christ loved. So through His Spirit, that He would graciously grant you to be strengthened with power through or by means of His Spirit in the inner man. Strengthened by supernatural power in the inner man. This is where the love's going to come from. It's going to come from the inner man. We have to be strengthened by the Holy Spirit because the flesh cannot produce spiritual love. The flesh cannot produce Christ in you. The Holy Spirit is to strengthen, empower you. And that will cause this love to flow through you. We saw in Romans 5:5 how the Holy Spirit pours this love into us. This tells us in another aspect on how this happens. God works from within, people. Flesh works from without. We change the outside, that'll help change the inside. Get you to stop doing bad habits and things. God does just the opposite. God starts on the inside and works outward. Okay, we come to verse 17. So that, okay, I get down on my knees and pray that God would grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man. Why? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, by means of faith. The purpose of the strengthening by the Holy Spirit is to glorify Jesus Christ. And this starts with Christ in you and you loving as Jesus Christ loves. You cannot love as Jesus Christ loved without Christ in you, without the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit. One expanded translation properly deals with the verb dwell. I'm not going to take our time dealing with a lot. I just want to give you an expanded translation that I really like in regard to dwell. And that is that Christ might settle down and feel completely at home in your hearts. Doesn't that sound wonderful? That Christ might settle down and feel completely at home in your hearts. That just sounds so good, so appealing. Wouldn't you desire this to be said of you? That Jesus Christ feels completely at home in your heart. Well, He can. He can. We have people over visit us at our homes. We want them to feel comfortable. Sometimes we're uncomfortable, so they're uncomfortable. So what we want here is for Jesus Christ to just feel completely at home in our hearts. See, how or why does Jesus Christ settle down in your hearts? It's not because of something you do. Not because you go to church or read the Bible or listen to gospel hymns or because you're a good person. Then how? How and what's going to cause Jesus Christ to feel at home in my heart? It's going to be by the filling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will make room, not you. You can't do this. The Holy Spirit will make room for Jesus Christ to come into your heart and to feel at home in your heart. Now note carefully how or why Jesus Christ will feel at home in your hearts. So that Christ might settle down and feel completely at home in your hearts through faith. Through faith. The Greek it means by means of faith. But please remember that faith must have an object. Not just faith, but faith must have an object. What are you trusting? See? What is the object of faith here? The object of faith is the Holy Spirit. By means of faith in the Holy Spirit. We are trusting God the Holy Spirit to strengthen us so that Jesus Christ might feel at home in us. And now we can love as Jesus Christ loves. And this is why we live by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight, people. Now, continuing. And that you, being rooted and grounded in love. We're in Ephesians chapter 3, 17. That you, being rooted and grounded in love. This is not flesh love. This is not love that comes from generally from mankind. This is divine love. God's love. Love of Jesus Christ. The same love that can flow through you by means of the Holy Spirit. If you desire to fulfill the new commandment, if you desire to comprehend all realms of biblical truth, Bible doctrine, theology, whatever you want to call it, if you desire to comprehend the love of God, it must be rooted and grounded in His love. Then you will be able to love as Jesus Christ loved, rooted and grounded in love. Okay, we have two things we need to think about here. First, what does this mean? What does it mean to be rooted and grounded in love? And then secondly, how? How are we rooted and grounded in love? So we have two things in this study that we need to look at. There's so many other things, but we're just in a momentum of our study here. So there are two things, two questions under rooted and grounded. What does it mean? And then secondly, how does it happen? Okay, let's look at rooted first. Take a root. A root means you're fixed firmly. The deeper the root, strengthened with roots, have a firm hold. The ideal of the root is threefold. We'll take a look at it. But if you had any kind of experience with any kind of plants, I have a three-tier planter. My backyard. Well, the top level is not more than 3 inches deep. So whatever's up there and a good wind comes by, a good Texas storm, they're gone. They're gone. They don't have the root. They don't have the bearing. They're gone. And if a good storm comes, they float away. But then you have a tree in your front yard, and guess what? There goes your foundation. Because the rooting of that tree, if it's the right kind of tree, a certain kind of tree, like weeping willows, I understand are a beautiful tree. Now, I think they are beautiful, but I understand their roots are atrocious on foundations of homes. They just spread out and eat up. So roots are very important. When I have a rooted, and a root gives you basic three ideas. One, being firmly strengthened. Gives you stability in the storm. Two, the root is the cause or source of something. The root is the cause or source of something, here your spiritual life. And three, the root provides nourishment for growth. And here, nourishment for growth in your spiritual life. Spiritual love is vital to your continual growth as a Christian and being a witness of Jesus Christ. Now let's look at grounded. We could spend a lot longer on rooted and grounded, but just to kind of help us in our momentum. Grounded. Okay, this is to lay a foundation. The better, the deeper, the stronger your foundation, the more the storms of life you'll endure. Jesus Christ gives a parable of the man who built his house on sand. Storm came along and there it goes. When you build your life on a good solid foundation. Want to build your marriage on a good solid foundation. Want to build your physical health on a good solid foundation. Well, want to build your spiritual life on a good solid foundation. Your spiritual life is grounded by spiritual love and is nourished by spiritual love. So both of these, rooted and grounded. Now what's interesting is, I know this may be new to some of you, in dealing with actually studying these things, but both of these are what we call a perfect tense in the Greek. And I point that out because it's important here. This means that they are the present result, the present reality of a past action. And the past action is that you walked by faith in the Holy Spirit, started growing in the Word and the understanding and the knowledge of Scripture, and the walking by faith in the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ starts feeling at home in your heart. These are results of the strengthening ministry of the Holy Spirit. When we walk by faith in Him, we grow in the Word of God. They are the consequence of Jesus Christ abiding in your heart when you're in the filling of the Holy Spirit. So the perfect tense, present result of a past action. Past action, people, as you start to grow in the Christian life, want to grow walking by faith in the Spirit, grow in the study and the knowledge of the Scriptures. Therefore, you want to find a local church where the Bible is taught. The Bible is taught verse by verse, almost word by word, but at least verse by verse, and where the pastor understands that the Bible is the inerrant, infallible Word of God, but not only that, that he understands what grace is, what faith is, the love that God is looking for. Just was talking to my two granddaughters and dealing with Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. What about there's a period of, is there really a period between those two, something happening between verses 1:1 and 1:2? And I thought about Donald Barnhouse's book, The Invisible War. And it is a superior book, people. And in it he talks about correctly dividing the word of truth. Got to know what you're doing with the Bible. So you want to be rooted and grounded. The perfect tense, past action, will be the present result. The present result of growing in the Word is that Christ will be home in your heart and that you will be rooted and grounded in this love. Now, they are also both in what is called the passive voice in the Greek. And I love the passive voice, and I hope you will too as you continue to grow. Passive voice is where the subject receives the action of the verb. I call it a grace voice. We receive being rooted and grounded. You do not earn or deserve it. You do not earn or deserve it any more than you earned or deserved eternal life. All are by grace, which means that being rooted and grounded in the love of Christ is by the grace of God. There are many who have a good foundation in the Mosaic Law. All the do's and the don'ts, and boy, they know them, and they want you to know them. There are people that are grounded in Bible doctrine. There are people who are grounded in prophecy, biblical history. There are people who are grounded in knowing and memorizing Bible verses. But they do not have this love. They're not rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. They do not have a firm foundation in His love. And your spiritual life is nourished by a firm foundation, rooted and grounded in this love. So you got to be careful what you do have a good foundation in, what you have, what you're rooted in. So our passage then says that He... That is the whole of the that He, God the Father, may graciously grant or give to you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power by the Holy Spirit in the inner man, so that, here's the result of all of that, Christ might feel at home in your hearts by means of faith, that you, being, see, it's a past, it's something that happened in the past, and a present result, being rooted and grounded in love, that is, in spiritual love. So, first, the empowerment by the Holy Spirit. How? By faith. These are two essentials. Then, Christ is at home in your heart. Third, by means of faith. By means of faith, you're empowered by the Holy Spirit. By means of faith, Jesus Christ starts being at home in your heart. And I hope that becomes something you want. Because to me it just sounds so wonderful that Christ may settle down and feel at home in your heart. You know, sometimes when people come over, boy, we start cleaning up the house and mopping the floors and throwing things in the closet and hope they don't open the closet and do all this kind of thing. And we just want everything to be so wonderful and all of that. People forget all of that. What's going to make Him feel at home in your heart? What's going to make Him feel at home? Well, the Holy Spirit's going to set up the environment. the Holy Spirit's going to make him, cause him to feel at home in your heart. And then fourth, rooted and grounded in love. So it looks like this. First, you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit by faith in Jesus Christ. Then the filling of the Holy Spirit by faith in the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ abiding in you, temporal, you can lose it by not walking by faith in the Holy Spirit. Loving as Jesus Christ loves, fulfilling the new commandment with supernatural love, which we've called spiritual love. See? Now, all of this is that you may be able. Now we move to verse 18. That you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. Okay, so let's take a look at what we're going to be dealing with. This is going to be the length, height, breadth, and depth of the love of Christ, of course. But let's just take a look at what we have now. You may be able. The Greek here, strong enough. And this is because we're strengthened by the Holy Spirit to comprehend. Now, we don't have time to spend adequate amount of time on the comprehension, but the Greek means to lay hold of so that it becomes your own. And you see that phrase, with all the saints? As astounding as this is, it is open to and available to every believer in Jesus Christ, to all the saints. Poor, rich, smart, not so smart, in prison, in freedom, wherever they are. All the saints have the ability to comprehend this love because the Holy Spirit is given to everyone who believes in Jesus Christ. What is the breadth and length and height and depth? Nothing from the flesh will make us able to comprehend the love of Christ. Nothing. It's impossible. Now, if you have the NIV, I like the NIV here. The NIV may have the power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide, long, high, and deep is the love of Christ. So I like they just put it into its perspective of wide, long, high, and deep. Breadth, length, height, and depth. What are we dealing with, whichever way you take it? We're looking at the four geometrical directions used to refer to the immeasurable love of Christ. That's the idea here. Simply stated, we have the four geometrical directions used to refer to the immeasurable love of Christ. The breadth, wide enough for all. The length, from eternity past to eternity future, covers the whole earth. The height, to the heavens, to the highest one, the highest level one may reach on earth. The depth, to the lowest. No one is too low for this love to reach them. No one. Then it says, with all the saints. This is really, again, wonderful. No matter century, circumstances, any believer can fulfill the new commandment and can comprehend the love of Christ, because every believer has the filling of has the Holy Spirit. Whether or not you're filled with the Spirit depends on whether or not you walk by faith or not. But you have the ability to grasp the love of Christ. Let me give you a verse that I came across, John 16:12. Jesus Christ talking to the disciples before the Holy Spirit was given to everyone. He says, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. You cannot bear them. Why cannot they bear them? Well, verse 13. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. See, we're so dependent upon the Holy Spirit, people, to understand the truth, to understand this love, and to love as Christ loved. Okay, now we add to this, Ephesians 3:18, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, height, and depth, the immeasurable love of Christ. And in verse 19, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up with the fullness of God, surpasses knowledge. Spiritual love cannot be defined. It defies definement. People, whenever you define something, think about it. When you define something, you confine it. And it's good, in a sense. We want to define a chair. Well, we keep working at it. We just confine it. Well, it's not a table. It's not a car. It's not a house. It's not a bread box. So we just keep lowering down, confining. And then finally we got it down. Ah, now I got a chair defined. This is why God cannot be defined. To define God is to confine God. And God cannot be confined by your human definitions. He is beyond description. Well, here's the same thing with this love. Now, you want to know doctrine. You want to know all you can from the Bible. Well, here's where the Holy Spirit will take us all. Here's the goal of knowing and studying the Bible. To know the love of Christ, which is beyond understanding. This is surpasses knowledge. Isn't this an oxymoron? How can I know something? See, to know the love of Christ surpasses knowledge. How can I do that? How can I know something that surpasses knowledge? This is the wonders of the Holy Spirit. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. To know the love of Christ. Important in the effect of learning biblical truth. We have to know how Jesus Christ loved. Know that we might love as He loved. There is no such thing as instinctive love, even in the human realm, have to be taught. Little boys have to be taught about love. Little girls have to be taught about love. A great problem in homes and families, nobody really was ever taught about love. Well, we're going to learn some things about love in this study. To know the love of Christ. Now, to know the love of Christ is what we call a possessive genitive. A love that belongs to Jesus Christ. A love that characterized by Jesus Christ. A love that flows from Jesus Christ to you. And then love that flows from you to others. And who is glorified? Christ is glorified. You want to glorify Jesus Christ? Love one another as He loved. To know the love of Christ, now comes the problem which surpasses knowledge. How are you going to know something that surpasses knowledge? Okay, let's go see if we can summarize this rather quickly in our study. Point one, this means that the love of Christ goes beyond the breadth, length, depth, height and depth of the human perception. In our human ability, this is beyond it. Two, what is that surpassing knowledge? The love of Jesus Christ. The new commandment. A love that can flow through you. New commandment. Okay, now, point three. Love of Jesus Christ is immeasurable. It's immeasurable. And now the human mind cannot comprehend it. So one, it's immeasurable. Height, length, and depth. And two, it cannot be comprehended by the human mind. Four, the love of Jesus Christ is indefinable. We will see that the Bible does not define this love, it describes it. This love is described by its effect, by its impact, not by some definition of love. And we'll see this in various aspects of our study. So under point three, the love of Christ is immeasurable. It cannot be comprehended. Four, it is indefinable. It's indefinable. That brings us to point five. Point five, therefore, no one, not even a believer, can produce this love by the energy of the flesh. No one can do that. If you don't understand it and you don't know what it is, you can't. How are you going to produce it? See? How are you going to do that? cannot be done. It is beyond human comprehension or human production. It's beyond it. Cannot comprehend it. They say that Aristotle, and I've seen the prints of it, kind of sketched what we would call a helicopter. In his mind, he could comprehend that there'd be some kind of a machine that could actually take man up and cause man to fly around like a bird. He could comprehend that. And then through history, of course, it became a reality. But this love is beyond comprehension. This love is beyond comprehension. How can you produce what you cannot even understand? Now, point six. This is why to have this love demands the power of the Holy Spirit. And point seven. This is why so much of the world cannot understand the cross of Christ. The love of God, the love of Christ, that He would die for all the human race. They cannot comprehend that. They cannot comprehend that kind of love. And therefore, they either reject it or try to add to it. Say, I don't understand how His love could do it all. I've got to do something. I've got to have my part. Cannot comprehend this love. This love surpasses all human understanding. It is received by faith. It is grasped by faith in the power of the Holy Spirit who strengthens us, gives us the ability to grasp and to understand this love. But when people look at the cross, just, no, I don't see that. I got to add to it. Okay, let's take another quick little summary. One, the subject throughout this section in Ephesians 3 is the love of Christ. The love that we're to love by, people. This is the same love you're to love by. Two, the target is the believer. For only the believer can have this love. Only the believer has the potential of knowing this love. Not every believer has it, but every believer has the potential, because every believer has the indwelling of the Holy Spirit who's given to us. Three, to know this love, you must be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Four, to love with this love, you must have Jesus Christ in you. Five, knowledge of this love, and to love with this love, you must have faith in the Holy Spirit, for He gives power to grasp it, and He pours it into you. If you want to grasp this love that's beyond understanding, surpasses understanding, how am I going to do that? Well, supernaturally. The Holy Spirit will do this. This would take us to a study of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, which we will not do at this time, but it talks about how the Holy Spirit causes us to understand spiritual things, divine things, things of God, depths of God. What are the depths of God? His love, which surpasses understanding. But the Holy Spirit searches the deep things of God, causes us to understand them in our lives. So this becomes a great issue in our lives. And then we move to point six. You must have supernatural knowledge, for this love is beyond the dimension of human understanding. This love is not known by the wisdom of man. This love is not known by the wisdom of man. Cannot be known by the wisdom of man. It's foolishness to him. We'll see this later. It's foolishness to man. That you may be filled up to the fullness of God. What a concept. Just sit down and think about that. Just think about it a moment. To be filled up with the fullness of God. That's an impossible concept. It's impossible. For a man like me, a sinner, even though I'm saved, how wretched I am, Paul says in Romans 7. And to think that I can be filled up with the fullness of God, that just is beyond my understanding. But the answer is yes, you can. You can be filled up with the fullness of God. How? By being filled with the love of Christ. That's how. Being filled with the love of Christ. Filled up. Where's the importance of doctrine in all of this? People, the goal is not to be filled with doctrine. The goal is to be filled with the love of Christ. Studying His Word is one of the things that the Holy Spirit does so that this will become a reality. But the goal and the objective is not just to know and learn Bible doctrine. The goal of the objective is to be filled up with the fullness of God, to love as Christ loved. This is so important. Filled up. Filled up means every part of your soul, every part of your life. This is why this whole thing on spiritual love is so important, and I'm devoting maybe even 3 lessons to it, but at least 2, to this whole thing of spiritual love. This is your life. This is where you want to live. It's to learn to love as Christ loved, not sloppy love from the flesh or hardcore legalism from the law, but to be filled with the fullness of God. The word means to fill up a deficiency. The love of Christ fills up the deficiencies in our lives. To fill up also means to fully influence every part of your life. People, here's the end to stress, anxiety, depression in your life. Sad. It's the end of fear. For where love is, there is no fear. Be filled with the love of Christ. This is what we want to do. What is sad is that this is in the subjunctive mood, to may be filled up, which means that not every believer will be filled up with the fullness of God. For not every believer will be filled up with His love, because not every believer will walk by faith consistently in the faith in the Holy Spirit. Not every believer will do that. Not every believer will persevere through hard times, difficult times, stay walking by faith in the Holy Spirit. So the subjunctive mood is a frightening warning. Will you do that? Because not every believer is going to. Most believers live by the flesh. Most believers love by the flesh. Do not walk by faith in the Holy Spirit, but by sight. They read something in the Bible, they think they can understand it, and therefore that's how they're going to live. They're going to try to do that. Can't be done, people. Can't do it. And one of the surest ways is to start with the love of Christ. How are you going to do that? They try to manufacture their own love. And people, God doesn't want our love. He desires to pour His love into our hearts. Our love is so fickle. I love you. I don't love you. I love you. I hate you. I love you. I hate you. I mean, how many people, I'll love you until death do us part. Well, boy, that didn't last very long. Old songs, eternal, forever isn't very long. It's the way people love. It's not the way Christ loves. We've got to comprehend His love that surpasses knowledge. One final question here. What is the fullness of God? That you may be filled up with the fullness of God. The fullness of God is the love of God. For what? God is love. God is love. Fullness of God is the love of God. People, the greatest thing that God can do for you is to make you like His Son. This phrase does not refer to the essence of God, the essence of His Son. This phrase does not refer to blessings from God. It deals with the Son of God and the love that flows through Him. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. I want to take a look at it. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to the mature man. Mature man means that person that's walked by faith in the Spirit and grown and growing in the Word, grounded, rooted in this love. That's the mature man. To the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Let's add to that Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. To whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. What is that mystery among the Gentiles? Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus Christ is the fullness of God. The love of Jesus Christ is the fullness of God. When you know the love of Christ, when you experience the love of Christ as you live day by day in the Spirit, when you love as Christ loved, then you have the fullness of God in you. Now, we've gone through this rather quickly, but let's just read our passage and then we'll move on. Starts in verse 14, Ephesians 3:14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father in prayer, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that, here's his prayer, that he, God, the Father, would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, that he would grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. Why we are given the Holy Spirit? Why does he pray that we'll be strengthened by it? So that, verse 17, so that Christ might dwell, or Christ might be at home in your hearts. I love the word translated that way. That Christ might be at home in your hearts through faith. Why the Holy Spirit? Why faith? That you, being rooted, nourished, and grounded, have a solid foundation in love, spiritual love. Not spiritual gifts, not faith, not knowledge, but all these are given, all of these are given with a goal to have a solid foundation, rooted and grounded in his love in you. Now, verse 18. In order that, when I have fun sometimes, just take this passage and go through and diagram it. And take these participles and these particles, that, in order that, in order that. Because they're very important in the flow. Verse 16, that. I pray that. See? And then verse 17, so that. Now verse 18, in order that you may be able to comprehend, grasp with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, the immeasurable love of Christ, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that, in order that, here's another one, that you may be filled up with the fullness of God. End sentence. This is the final thing. Now let's just read the next couple of verses, though, to complete Paul's thought. Verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. One of the most, my favorite lines is by Elizabeth Barrett Browning. God's gifts put man's best dreams to shame. Here's where the verse comes, here's where it comes from. Verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or even think to ask, according to the power that works, is operative within us, that is the Holy Spirit, to him, not us, be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. The purpose of the Holy Spirit, the purpose of growing in the knowledge of the Word of God, purpose of faith, is to produce the love of Christ in you, the new commandment. It's not about walking by law, it's about loving as Christ loved. The new commandment is to love one another as Jesus Christ loved you. Spiritual love. This is in John 13, 34 and 35. How? By walking by faith in the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:22. Then we looked at the name of this love, spiritual love. By faith in the Holy Spirit, He pours in this love in the inner heart, in the inner man. Romans 5:5. People, you cannot save yourself as an unbeliever. We study that. You cannot restore yourself from sin as a believer. We studied that. You cannot live the Spirit-filled life by energy of the flesh. You cannot obey the new commandment by the energy of the flesh. You cannot love as Christ loved by the energy of the flesh. People, you cannot even will this love in the energy of the flesh. You do not make a decision to love as Christ loved. You make a decision to walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. Then He, the Holy Spirit, pours this love into you. We make a faith decision. Our obedience is the obedience that is faith. You don't make a decision to love as Christ loved. You make a decision to walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will pour this love into you. Later we'll take a look at Paul's exhortation, be not drunk with wine, be not filled with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. You don't make a decision to get drunk, to be drunk. You don't make a decision to be drunk. You make a decision to drink alcohol. Alcohol will do what it's designed to do. Well, you don't make a decision to love as Christ loved. You make a decision to walk by faith in the Holy Spirit, be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit will do what He's designed to do. See? So our obedience is the obedience of faith. Okay, let's see where we've gone now. Okay. Well, I had all of these on here. I didn't realize it. Okay. One, nothing will make greater demands on you than to love as Jesus Christ loved. Two, how did Jesus Christ love? By the Holy Spirit. There are the passages that we looked at. Three, another way that we can look at how Christ loved, sacrificial to self, beneficial to others. Four, spiritual love is not defined. Ephesians 3:14 and following. Now we move to point five. Spiritual love is not defined but described. It's not defined but described. The love commanded by Jesus Christ in the new commandment cannot be defined. It is described. Okay, whenever it exists, things will happen. Let's look at 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 in our study in spiritual love. Cannot be defined. It's defined by describing. We know love by this. Now we have a Webster's Dictionary definition. No. We have a Greek definition. No. Have a Hebrew definition. No. Have a Latin definition. No. Can't be defined. We know love by this, that He laid down His life for us. Oh, amen. Isn't that wonderful? Gee, that's just, man, I love that kind of love. He laid down His life for us. Oh, yeah? Well, see if you like the last part here. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Ooh, don't know about that part. I love that first part, but I don't know about that last part. Lay down my life for the brethren. That's for one another. That you love one another as I have loved you. That's the one another. We know love not from a definition. We know love by description. Now, this is not unlike something that you and I experience 24/7. That is gravity. Do you know that? I was really amazed when I found out physicists cannot define gravity. As a matter of fact, they're not really sure why gravity. That amazed me. So, we define gravity. Think about it. You want to define gravity, you define gravity by description. Gravity, I started to just write out a Webster's definition here, but you can look it up. Gravity is a force. And there are some wonderful analogies between the force of gravity as a force and spiritual love as a force. Now, if we're right here, it is the force of God's love that holds everything together in the universe. Think about that. If we're right, the love of God holds everything together in the universe. It is God's love that causes things to happen in the universe and in our lives. God is love, and the force of God's love holds things together, gets things moving, changes the direction of things. If you do not sense the push or pull of the love of God on you, it means that there is a love of greater pulling, of greater force pulling on you, but you're not affected by the pull of the love of God. Force decreases with distance. So the further you move away from the love of God, you move away, He doesn't, the less you are affected by the force of His love, the less your life is affected by His love. So by way of teaching, this is just a teaching technique. Everybody has their own technique. This is one that the Spirit gave me. Let's look at spiritual love as a spiritual force. And a spiritual force has three interesting properties. Direction, magnitude, and impact or effect. So to help where I'm going with all of this, I'd like you to turn to a familiar passage in the Bible that most of you are familiar with, John 3:16. Let's see how this flows in John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Whoop! There's the direction of God's love. The world, all human beings, all unbelievers. Next we come to the magnitude. What's the magnitude of His love, God's love? That He gave His only begotten Son. Now the impact or the effect of this love, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There we have the three properties of the force of love in John 3:16. Now, let's talk about you. Point one, what is the direction of your love? You have to ask yourself, what's the direction of your love? Self? If we're honest, that's where most of us start. Money? That's a strong one. Somebody else? And if others, do you have to earn their love? 1 Timothy 6:10, the love of money. John 3:19, the love of darkness. John 12:43, they love the approval of man rather than the approval of God. And that will have impact on your life if that's you. John 12:25, lovers of life. 1 John 2:15 talks about loving not the world, but we have here the love toward the world, so we shouldn't do that. People, take note of the direction of your love. Pay attention. Love of these or in other directions pulls you away from the love of God. Love is a force pushing and pulling toward God or away from God and away from His love. So the direction of your love is extremely important. The direction of faith is crucial. The direction of love is crucial. Love that the Holy Spirit pours into you determines the direction of your life and of love in your life toward one another. Secondly, love has magnitude. Such phrases as, no greater love hath any man than this, he lay down his life. Love is of such magnitude that one will lay down their life. Must love me more than. Greater magnitude of love toward Christ. And this is only possible by the love that the Holy Spirit pours into our heart. Now you may protest. Wait, people lay down their lives for others with love that comes from the flesh. A soldier. A mother. people, I'm not denying that this is true. This is a characteristic of love. This is a characteristic of love. In fact, I'll even go so far as to say that one may even die for the church or for Christ, but not in the filling of the Spirit. This is going to be a hard one for some people to process, but not in the filling of the Holy Spirit, not by spiritual love of the Holy Spirit. So there's no profit, no benefit. We're going to look at a passage that says, you give all your money, you love God, you love the poor, you love the church and all this, but if love of the Holy Spirit is not there, it's of no profit. We must understand that it is not man who is the norm and standard of this love. It's God. Is it the faith God is looking for? Is it the love God is looking for? See, that's the great issue. It's not just the faith that God is looking for. Is your love the love that God is looking for? Under magnitude, it is vital that we understand that nowhere are we told or even implied more love than other believers. Nowhere is love set up as a performance system whereby we can compare ourselves, compete with one another. And then finally, what's the impact of your love? Does your love in your home, in your marriage, at work, in life, church, does it cause hurt, separation, judgment? You see, God cares how His love sounds and what His love looks like. It's amazing how many Christians cause division between believers. Sometimes they're not even aware of it, but by their little mouth. And they think they're just in there with Christ, and they hurt one another. People, you got to think before you open your tongue, before you open your mouth and speak. Is what I'm going to say edifying, encouraging in Christ, or will it do harm? Will it do harm? So we go back to 1 John 3:16. We know love by this, that He laid down His life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. What should be the direction of our love? The brethren. What should be the magnitude of our spiritual love? Same magnitude as that of Christ. Lay down our lives. That's the impact. Lay down our lives in magnitude. The impact. The magnitude of the impact of that love is that we will lay down our lives. Now, just a closing comment about laying down your life. People, it doesn't mean necessarily that you go out and die. Because let's face it, you can only do that one time. One time and it's over. You're dead. This means day in and day out through your life. You've got plans for your life. You've got plans for your money. You've got plans for the day. Something happens in regard to another believer in their spiritual walk. And now you've got to lay down your plans. Lay down your money. Lay down what you had ideas of doing and all of that. Because a believer needs you. See, are you willing to lay down your... That's what spiritual love will do. That's why I said the very point was point one. Nothing will make greater demands on your life than to love as Jesus Christ loved. You may have to lay down your life. That means you may have to lay down something that was really important to you today. Really important in your plans. But because of the demands of spiritual love, you lay it down. And this is only possible the power of His Spirit. We'll resume here next. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're just amazed to think that we can be filled with the fullness of God. To think that we can comprehend that which is beyond understanding. Your love. Love that put Your Son on a cross for us. And that we can have this same love flowing through us, that's even more amazing. So, Father, we pray that You'll take the things we saw this morning, have them settle down in our souls, and then in our lives that become a reality. That we may be a witness for Christ by loving as Christ loved. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.